Mr. Chairman and friends, last week, as I expect most of you remember, we started experiencing for ourselves something of what I called the magic of a Mahayana sutra. The sutra in question being, of course, the text known as the Vimala Kirti Nirdesha, or teaching of Vimalakirti, the sage of Vaishali. And this week we take up the first of our themes drawn from that extraordinary work, the Vimalakirti Nirdesha. We're considering this week the topic of building the Buddha land, and we're going to consider it quite systematically, going to consider it, I hope, fairly thoroughly, under five main headings. First of all, what is the Buddha land? I'm sure you'd all like to know. Two, who builds it? Three, why does he build it? Four, with what does he build it? And fifthly and lastly, this is of course very important, how does he build it? It's pretty obvious that these five questions overlap to some extent, in fact, to a considerable extent, and therefore the answers to these questions also will overlap to some extent. That, I think, is inevitable, and in any case we may say quite categorically that in the spiritual life of the individual there can be no question of hard and fast divisions and separations anyway. But before considering this evening's topic of building the Buddha land under these five headings, I want to go back just a little bit. I want to provide just a little bit of background information, if you like, especially for the benefit of those who weren't here last week. Building the Buddha land is a theme, as I've said, taken from the Vimalakirti Nirdesha. And it's taken from the first chapter of that work, which is entitled The Purification of the Buddha Field. And we're going to consider it within that specific context. And this will involve acquainting ourselves with certain crucial passages in that first chapter of the Vimalakirti Nirdesha. Before doing that, however, I want to say just a few words, again for the benefit of those who weren't here last week, a few words about the expression, a Mahayana Sutra. The Mahayana, as I think most of you by this time appreciate, is the particular historical and doctrinal form of Buddhism. The word means literally great way or great vehicle. And it's that form of Buddhism which sets, we may say, no limit whatever to the spiritual potential of the individual, the individual's potential for spiritual development. It's that form of Buddhism which encourages all living beings to aim at the highest conceivable, in fact, as we saw last week, the highest inconceivable goal of the spiritual life. In other words, at what's traditionally known as supreme perfect enlightenment for the benefit of all. And one who aims at supreme perfect enlightenment for the benefit of all is, of course, known as a bodhisattva. A sutra is a particular type of Buddhist canonical text. It's not primarily a literary document, rather it's a literary record, not to say a literary recension of a previously existing oral tradition. Very broadly speaking, a Mahayana sutra is a sutra in which the Buddha, Shakyamuni, Gautama the Buddha, is represented as teaching, directly or indirectly, the Bodhisattva ideal, or the ideal of supreme, perfect enlightenment for the benefit of all living beings. So the Vimalakirti Nirdesha is a Mahayana sutra, though not quite in the usual sense. It might, in fact, be helpful if we were to regard the Vimalakirti Nirdesha simply as a work of sublime spiritual imagination, which without perhaps attaching to it that suggestion of authoritativeness which the word sutra perhaps conveys.